Welcome to another...
The official podcast of The Leaky Cauldron.
The Leaky Cauldron.
The Leaky Cauldron.
Do you hear that, Earth? The Leaky Cauldron.
Just go! You're wasting time!
Welcome to Pottercast, your number one source for news, theories, discussion and interviews with people from the Potter books and films. I know a small amount myself, having written the books. My name is J.K. Rowling. I am now happy to introduce your hosts, Melissa, John, and Sue.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider in spoken word entertainment. Audible has over 35,000 titles to choose from to be downloaded and played back anywhere, just like Pottercast. Log on to audible.com/podcast to get a free audiobook download of your choice when you sign up today. Again, go to audible.com/podcast for your free audiobook. Welcome. It's near the end of February, and we are in podcast number 140. Which, believe it or not, means that in only 3 months, we'll have, or 2.5 months, we'll be at podcast 150.
Oh man, we'll have to do something special and then forget to do it.
And then forget to do it. 156 will be our 3 years.
Really?
52 weeks in a year.
Do you think we'll ever have 365 Pottercast episodes?
If they do 2 Deathly Hallows movies, maybe.
I mean, gripe.
It's possible.
Okay.
we all just had a garish glimpse into the future.
Shut.
Yeah.
We're all like, oh, really?
That's bleak.
Okay, well, welcome. This is Pottercast, the Harry Potter show where we talk about everything Harry Potter, in case we didn't give you enough clues by the name Pottercast and the fact that it's
everything
a Harry Potter
more.
Show. I'm Melissa. Yeah. I'm here again with John and Sue, and we are ready for a great show. We have another Scrubby 5 for you this week. We have a bit-by-bit discussing Deathly Hallows, and we have the debut, the world premiere of Are You Smarter Than John Noe?
Da-da-da.
Everybody's smarter than John Noe.
Yeah.
We don't know that yet.
Okay. Okay. So what's happening in the Harry Potter news world this week?
Well, we've kind of heard, and as of this recording, it's not been officially confirmed, but an author kind of spilled the beans on who is going to be directing Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows. Looks like Mr. David Yates is going to return because Lois Lowry, she's a children's author, and she was updating her blog, and Mr. Yates was in consideration to direct a film of her book called The Giver, and she said that he declined in order to go direct Deathly Hallows.
Now,
that book, The Giver?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really old book.
Yeah. But it's a classic.
Well,
that one with, like, the old guy's face on the cover and everything, and that's all I really remember about it.
I never read it. So I'm not sure.
I had to read it for school.
Yeah.
But I have to tell you, it's so funny, this makes me laugh, because in the grand multi-billion-dollar operation that is Warner Brothers, and the very careful publicity planning, the very careful schedule of announcements, embargoes, who knows but can't say, who can't say but doesn't really know anyway, and what happens?
No.
Somebody says something to a friend, and she blogs about it, and then it's all out there.
Oh, wow.
It makes me laugh. Oh, I love it.
I mean, it was incredible because the person that sent us the tip is an avid reader of this author, and this woman had just posted just like 30 minutes beforehand, and she sent it right to us, and I like...
What if she's lying?
The woman's a children's author. She's a lovely woman.
Oh, so she's infallible.
Well,
she never lies.
Well, she's talking about
her own movie, though. I mean, she's talking about her own perspective.
Maybe she was just trying to draw attention to herself. It was like a, you know, viral buzz campaign of...
Yeah.
Making slanderous.
Warner Brothers needs additional publicity help. Yeah.
Well, but guys,
her own publicity.
Wow.
Guys, she made an apology. She wrote, "Those of you who read this blog know that a couple of days ago I mentioned the Giver movie would likely be further delayed because the director wanted to do the final Harry Potter movie first. I had no inkling what a tsunami that would bring on. I have now been alerted that my small bit of non-news is appearing everywhere, and as it takes on momentum, it also takes on a life of its own, bearing no relation to fact. Lowry says her film has been screwed by Yates, is a headline someplace. Harry Potter websites have created lengthy postings about it. Hundreds of emails have come to me from strangers. I am about ready to change my name and go live in the outback someplace. I have sent an apology to the film producer who was extremely gracious, more than I deserved, in her reply. I think we tend to forget how quickly the internet snaps and gobbles when prey is offered. I should have recalled a time some years back when the author Susan Cooper, who had lived in my neighborhood for years, married Hume Cronin and moved away. Shortly thereafter, in describing where I lived, Cambridge, Massachusetts, to an audience in Charlottesville, Virginia, I mentioned that many writers live in my Cambridge neighborhood. I began to list a few, Robert Parker, Catherine Lasky, Susan Cooper, then caught myself and said, no, I forgot. Susan's gone now. The next day, the word went out on the internet that Lois Lowry had announced the death of Susan Cooper.
Oh, this is bad.
Of course, I wrote to Susan a note of apology, and she, like the film producer, was also very gracious, but geez, wouldn't you think I have learned by now? To me, this blog is like a conversation with a few friends. It always has been. I just schmooze about writing, my dog, and my grandchildren, and often people, strangers, but they feel like pals, send comments, and all is cozy, but today it doesn't feel that way, and I'm actually apologizing to everyone in the film industry as obscured by increasing misinterpretation of what I thought was a minor, fleeting, and unimportant bit of news from this snowy farm in Maine. Isn't it amazing?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
She just thought she was, you know.
I love the internet.
Fun tidbit, yeah. And then boom.
Yeah.
You know?
That's so awesome.
It's, yeah.
So Yates, huh?
So Yates is back. This will be a three-peat for him.
I knew it.
Or a four-peat.
Well, maybe it could
be
four.
Yeah, we.
Maybe.
The signs. I hate embargoes. I want to talk. The signs were there. But we can talk about the set stuff when the first trailer comes out a little bit. And then we'll talk about more later.
Yeah, but I mean, I kind of thought it would be Yates all along. I just thought it made sense because he just seemed so into it, you know? And if they want to keep the continuity for the end, just the way he's going,
I can't claim Monday morning quarterback on this. I can't say that I thought so all along, because I thought that three is too much for any one person. But that changed again at the set. Through nothing nobody said, but we'll just things started to feel that way. You know, you get a feeling, and that was I didn't see it coming until then. So. Yeah.
No, I mean, Lucas directed or produced all his Star Wars movies. Peter Jackson did all three Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. Simultaneously, too. Which is even more miraculous. But, yeah.
Well, Yates will have now, like, commandeered the franchise, which is pretty awesome. You know?
Yeah.
The end of the franchise. Great.
Those Matrix dudes directed all three of their movies.
But it's still, I just think it's good, though. I mean, I think the cast will probably, I mean, Dan Radcliffe is always so complimentary about David Yates. It just seems to me he was really into this. I wonder if that had a lot to do with it, too. Yeah.
I'll be interested to see if they have to do more contract renegotiations if there's another movie.
Oh, maybe.
I wonder what the wording of that contract was, to finish the series or to do this amount of more movies.
Well. You know, you hate to think in those terms, because especially since they just now settled the writer's strike and Mr. Clovis can get back to
doing. I don't think anybody will raise a fuss.
Yeah.
I mean, Sirius is still dead, so.
Fortunately, yeah. Let's hope if they do the two movies, they get it all in. I don't know. We're hopeful. We'll hear about it soon.
I'm sure.
Speaking of producers and all that kind of thing, we did hear from David Barron, who doesn't get as much attention as David Heyman, who just seems to do a lot of talking, but David Barron is also one of the longtime producers on the film. And he gave a new interview where he says he confirms a rumor that had been floating around on the internet, that there's going to be a new scene, a pivotal scene, at the Burrow added to Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows film, or I'm sorry, Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince film, and it's going to happen like midpoint. And he said...
I remember reading a little bit about this.
Yeah.
Yeah, it got posted in our comments.
Yeah.
It got posted in the comments. It's been on LiveJournals.
Everywhere.
And if the one on LiveJournal was legit, it's something like they're outside in the Burrow or something, and like Bellatrix and Death Eaters show up out of like the forest, and they're all like start firing spells and things, and like somehow like the Burrow catches on fire.
Yeah.
And it's like, whoa, oh my God, the Burrow's on fire, and then something happens, and I don't remember the rest.
That's the rumor.
That's the rumor. That you can't say anything about, woman, because you were there.
Sewing my lips shut.
I know. So, but it's really interesting that they are adding the scene that is not, and he said specifically that is not in the book. But this line cracked me up. We don't often have things that aren't in the book. but this was brought in because Joe was able, throughout the quite lengthy book, to keep dropping little snippets of what was happening in the outside world. There'd be people reading newspapers and talking about how somebody's parents had been killed or had been withdrawn from school because their parents didn't think it was safe. And we're made aware of that. The Muggle world is also experiencing these disasters, but they think the disasters are rather the work of rather than the work of Voldemort. And
yeah.
So that's how they put it in to show that, like, that even in the Burrow, that nothing's safe.
Do you think they're going to keep the scene with, like, the Muggle Prime Minister?
No.
Can you imagine that cameo, though, if they got that dude to do it?
He'll kill Blair. He doesn't have anything better to do, so he's just going to show
no,
him.
No, Blair's
not,
gone. It's the two guy. It's,
but it,
what's
but,
his name?
No.
What's the new Prime Minister? Oh, no, yeah, no, it would be at that time, Tony Blair.
Right, at that time it would be Tony Blair. But it's,
What the hell is he doing anyway? He could be in a movie. Why not?
I don't know. They can get the guy who played him in The Queen.
Yeah. That would be good.
You know, I don't know, you know. By the way, the Prime Minister's name is Gordon Brown.
Gordon Brown, yeah.
Just but, before people think that we don't know that there are other countries. So that is, it says. He goes on his old bent and nobody knows what he's talking about for the European countries, and he just goes, do you know there are other countries? It's so true about Americans. I'm sorry, I'm shutting up.
Well, it's not like we have, like, we call our championship baseball game the World Series.
Because that's not arrogant at all.
I know.
Yeah. All.
The whole world, well, we only play baseball.
Yeah. Even the Little Leaguers win the World Series in America.
I know.
So, okay,
I love
it. I'm sorry. So what were you saying?
No, it's just, I mean, there's just one more little bit about, while we're talking about Half-Blood Prince, that they've also kind of cast Fenrir Greyback and Amicus.
Yeah.
Caro? How do you say their last name? Caro?
I guess it's Caro. I always say Caro. I don't know.
Yeah, so that those have been cast. So I thought that was kind of a coup, kind of that they're having the werewolf.
That's pretty
neat. Although, but we learned last week that Flem is not in it, so...
And I mean...
I don't know. Just kind of takes away.
That's a bummer.
You know?
You'd think that they would jump on that and stick another pretty girl in the movie. You'd think they would jump all over that.
They got enough pretty girls.
Like, yeah, it's true, but still, you know.
It just
seems
like a clumsy...
Four new old men toss in another girl.
Well, they never introduced Bill, so now you're going to introduce Bill and Flora, and reintroduce Flora, and also, by the way,
I told you how
together.
That would work. I told you how that would
I
work.
Know.
Harry turns to the camera and be like, oh, Bill Weasley. You're the Weasley's oldest brother. I haven't seen you in a long time.
No, you found the Chamber of Secrets, or what is it? No, the Room of Requirement.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else important, Sue?
No, nothing new. We haven't seen any. I was hopeful. We just had Toy Fair. I just want to say that our friends over at Figures.com were very, very nice and cool toy reviews. We saw some great new photos of some of the older toys, but nothing new yet. So I know people keep asking, but we're hopeful for new toys.
Cool. Well, we have lots more coming up for you on the show. In addition to Are You Smarter Than John Noe and another Bit by Bit, we have with us Ms. Meg, who will be writing the script for the podcast acting troupe, which still is happening, people.
Yay, we're going to hear all about the details for how to audition this week, not making it up, at the end of the show. Hear all about it and what our plans are and how you can be a part of it, and it will be cool. We're bitten by bitten, taking the Deathly Hallows, bits at a time. We got a big chapter 8, the wedding, that we're going to put into quite a few bits, because there's quite a few bits and bits going on. But this is the first bit of the chapter 8.
It's a wedding. We have a Muggle wedding. Bill and Fleur's wedding.
Finally, wedding time.
And we start out with something I was very surprised at the beginning, the second sentence of this chapter.
Why?
Because it said, Harry had taken a large dose of Polyjuice potion. Huh?
You were surprised by this?
I was. I was not expecting the rampant use of Polyjuice potion in this book.
Yeah. Yeah, this is sort of where it starts, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's not. The Seven Potters did that, but
the
book is just completely full of it.
I was like, here we go again.
Thank God we have that stuff.
Yeah, for real.
But and then it cracked me up that it said that Fred had used the summoning charm to get hairs. I mean, that's kind of flipped me out. Okay,
Isn't Cousin Barney coming to the wedding? Was he not invited?
I don't know.
Is there actually a Cousin Barney?
Is he like the guy from the cabinet that has to sit out of the State of the Union so that Harry could go to the wedding?
Oh, maybe so.
You know?
It is.
I think...
He doesn't get to go.
I think Molly killed him for the occasion.
Well, just to get Harry there.
Yeah.
No.
Molly's a piece of work.
Yeah, but Harry takes the place of Cousin Barney, who had a very probably... Maybe he's the accountant.
Maybe he had Spoltergeist.
Battergroit.
Battergroit.
Wouldn't that have shown up on Harry?
That'd be kind of gross.
I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, Harry's the slightly pudgier version of himself in Barney.
Yep.
In a redhead, yeah.
Yeah.
And it was funny, but then they go on to describe the scene. Now, because I am such a freaky, wacky film person, I was reading this little scene about how there are, like, waiters and there's a band. And I had just been watching, like, the Godfather movie, and I just, like, flashed to, like, the Weasleys are having this posh, like, swanky party. I just didn't quite expect it to be that kind of...
There was, you know, Sue, there was a lot of, like, old school images in there, like when she refers to... The waiters and all the band and everything. Harry could see a blue haze of pipe smoke issuing from the spot. It's kind of very kind of old school feel.
It did, you know.
That.
I agree with you.
Yeah. They're all sitting around smoking, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I did. So that's why I flashed to that scene. I was like, you know, like, I don't know, like maybe Cary Grant or something. I don't know. It didn't quite match with my image of the borough. What kind of like, I don't know. I just thought it'd be more fun. Yeah.
Fun.
I don't know.
It was very much like a muggle wedding. You know? I like the film.
If weddings were completely different in the Wizarding world, then I don't know how we'd even relate to it. Like if it was all like on brooms or something, or underwater.
They wrote wonders.
I mean, that'd be wild.
You know?
But it was kind of cool. Did you not like this thing, too, Melly, when she was talking about how she was writing? She wrote, exotic flowers and bewitched birds fluttered on their hats, while precious gems glittered from many of the witches, the wizards, you know?
It totally evokes the festive atmosphere that we know of a wedding. And But I don't know what I expected. I think because, to be honest, over 10 years or 7 years, whatever it's been, I have read a lot of fanfic involving Wizarding Weddings.
Oh, yeah.
And people always come to it with some elaborate, you tie the wands together and birds fly out the end and then gold rings fly out from nowhere and zoom onto your hands and everybody erupts and glitters. Like, you know, it's always bigger in fanfic and she made it very conventional.
Well, I think you're right, though. Maybe it is the influence that she was worried about the Delacours, that she wanted that they tried to go all out. So maybe that was it, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know, but I had to chuckle.
Like they have a little more money. I'm sorry.
No, you're right. No, I was just had to chuckle about the sound of the bees, because you know there had been that theory about that Dumbledore was the Animagus as a bee, and then or maybe Ron was actually Dumbledore as a bee, and then it's like, there's the bees! There she are!
Ron's Dumbledore, back from the future. He's a bee. He's got a stinger. He's going to sting Harry. Harry's going to get a bite, a tattoo with the sign on it will appear, the Deathly Hallows, and now they know what they're looking
for. That's it! You saw it right there.
And then Ron kills Dumbledore.
Just for fun.
Yeah.
Because he swatted his neck. But yes, the wedding, the wedding was very, it was nice. It was conventional with wizarding touches, mm-hmm. you know? I think it was kind of comfortable and cozy because we know the conventions. Yeah. They're similar to ours.
Well, and a wedding is a perfect excuse to get a bunch of characters together. Mm-hmm. And to meet a lot of new characters, of course, as well. And we have a few of them. One of the first people we meet is a crazy-looking dude.
Yeah, John, say his name.
His name is Exo Phallus.
No, I know!
You
didn't
get a phallus
in
there. John always makes sure to think about the phallus. I'm just saying.
What?
Phallus? Exo phallus? Do you know what a phallus is?
It's like something they use in chemistry.
Oh, it is not.
Really
you
not.
Are shameless. Shameless. Smirchin
Xenophilius Lovegood.
Yeah, it's pretty
Xenophilius,
much...
which means, like, you know how people are xenophobic, but they don't like foreigners?
Yeah.
It's like a love of the eccentric, or that's sort of the feeling about the word.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how did his parents know when he was born that he was going to be in love with the eccentric?
John, I don't know.
I don't know. It's a magical thing.
A very clever, magical world.
How did they know that Luna would be moon-like? Or would moon?
She did not! Melly!
Oh, my God.
No, I mean, I don't mean it in that sense. I mean moon like daydream, like in the natural sense of it. John's version of mooning is a whole other thing.
Running around in a random classroom and mooning with kids and running out laughing.
Mooning is daydreaming, being far
off.
I've
never heard mooning that
really
way.
Mooning about? You've never heard that? Have you ever seen The Little Mermaid?
What?
It's Titan, Little Mermaid's father.
You couldn't even see her butt.
It's not that definition, you dork. Jesus.
You can't pull the fins down.
I'm sorry.
He doesn't even have two legs.
John, there's a definition that is totally appropriate, and there's one that's not. Guess which one you're using.
Well.
Okay, I must breathe.
I know. You know, I know. God.
Okay. So, okay, I love his description. Back
you
on Zeno's, his attire. I loved it. I just thought it was fabulous. You know? Suited
yeah, him. But Luna's wearing all yellow. She's got sunflower in her hair. And it's,
yeah.
Like, once you get over the glare, it was nice. Harry said.
Aww.
You just imagine them showing up just totally chartreuse, blinding. Great.
See, when I read this description of her, I thought we were going to get, you know, some kind of romance for her in this book. Just because they seem to focus in on what she was wearing, how she looked and everything, and it sounded pretty cute. But, I mean, I don't know. I don't know who would have been. Had Joe never debunked Neville and Luna, I would have thought for sure at that point, but I don't know. You guys don't agree, obviously.
Well, I mean, I think we get a little hint of some love for her late in the book, but nothing, we don't settle her history in this book, you know?
But did your heart just not leap, though, when the sentence came up, an odd symbol, rather like a triangular eye, glistened from a gold chain around his neck. Now, not having known.
Count Olaf came over from the right.
Yeah.
Wearing a bad costume.
Yeah.
Sorry. That's the unfortunate series. Their symbol looks like an eye.
Harry Potter
is far superior. Far superior to that series.
So. Wait, what are you talking about?
A series of unfortunate events. They all have tattoos on their ankles. It looks like an eye. And it's really the letters VFD, or we think it is anyway. And the Deathly Hallows symbols resembles it a little bit.
But I had remembered us, you know, forever when the book cover, at this point, we had been theorizing over that crazy symbol on the book cover, you know. And then here, lo and behold, he's got it around his neck, you know. I just was like, oh.
Like some rapper's jewelry.
Yeah, it was. Zeno's bling. It was the symbol. I just was like, oh.
But another thing I love about this chapter is that Luna sees Harry as burnt and just walks over to him and says, "Hey, Harry," as if it's nothing. And it's just, and he says, no, my name's Barney. And she says, "Oh, have you changed that too?" Like, it's just so, she's so pure. She can tell.
That's a power, though. That
is a power.
That's significant, I think. She could be, like, in the ministry, like, Unspeakables.
Yeah.
They use Polyjuice Potion to fool people on very important things, and she can see right through it.
If she knows the person, I think. I don't think you could always see through it. I don't think she can, like, detect Polyjuice, but she knows Harry, and she can see who he is in his eyes, you know?
Oh, but maybe, like, his facial expressions and...
Yeah.
Harry always picked his butt or something, and everybody knew about it.
Thanks again, John.
No, back to your butt.
No
it's
problem.
Obsession with your butt. It's
I don't have obsession with Harry's butt.
Unhealthy. Okay, but I thought that was cool, too. I liked. I enjoy, like, the Gernimbili Gardensi.
Gernumbly Gardensi.
How do you say that? Gernumbly Gardensi.
I don't know. I'm guessing. Maybe it's Gernumbly Gardensi. Nobody, I mean, there's never pronounced it, so.
But it cracked me up, though. I mean, here they have this deep thing about gnome saliva. I mean, just like, hello.
They have such a special little bond. Like, you know, she's the only, he's the only other one that she can talk to seriously about these crazy whims he has. And they totally take each other as completely as nothing out of the ordinary, which you'd have to think people like them need.
I know, and then the way they speak, declaim in Mirmish. I mean, you know, it's just so, I love that.
Declaim, in Mirmish.
Who would be the perfect casting for him?
God. Do you have an idea, John?
No.
No, I kept thinking.
I keep trying to think of a role that they could get Patrick Stewart for, because I know he's talked about wanting to get on Harry Potter movies, and
he's
I love that
serious.
Guy.
He's serious.
He's so brilliant. He would be, it'd be way out of his normal character that he would take.
I would say Jim Broadbent if he wasn't already taken.
Yeah.
But who's the guy? I don't think he's alive, and I think he's American. Oh, he maybe still be alive. But the guy that played in Back to the Future, the crazy professor.
Oh, he'd be great. Christopher Lloyd.
That's it, Christopher Lloyd.
He'd be fantastic.
Yeah.
And what about Michael Caine? He's British, right?
Oh, yeah. He could do
He's so old, though.
He's old, but he'd be
he's
funny.
So old.
He knows pretty old. Why not?
He could do funny, yeah. I think.
Oh, yeah, of course. He was in Austin Powers. Austin Powers' dad. He can easily do funny.
Do you think Luna's dad is younger than that, though?
Yeah.
Mm.
Luna's dad would be like Arthur's age, so he'd have, hey, he'd have, you know.
Yeah.
Hair like candy floss.
Christopher Lloyd.
Christopher Lloyd.
Very old looking, but perfect for as far as temperament.
Maybe Christopher Lee could do it.
Oh, Saruman. He played some so good in Lord of the Rings.
He could be funny, I think.
But he was
you're talking about if this is Luna's grandfather, then these guys would be perfect.
I don't know. I keep thinking of an old guy because his hair is the texture of candy floss, and that always seems to indicate old to me.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of waxy thinning. But yeah, you're right. He's younger than that. All right, send your casting suggestions for Enochilius Lovegood.
We'll forward them on.
Staff at Podercast.com. We'll forward it to our super secret person who has no power over anything.
No.
We want to see him.
Yeah.
We'll send him to Sam.
Yeah. He's smarter than John Noe. Okay.
Yes.
So Crumb sees this. No, we're not up to Crumb yet.
No, we're up.
We're up to Auntie Muriel.
God, this girl drove me nuts.
Everybody has an Auntie Muriel. Everybody has them.
I don't have an Auntie Muriel. My family is beautiful.
I don't believe
you. I
have
an Auntie Muriel.
Everybody does. It's a fact. It's just a fact of life.
She's the one that goes, I love, you have to think that J.K. Rowling's an Eddie Izzard fan, because she had Auntie Muriel running around saying, give me a chair, I'm 107.
Yes.
And there's a whole bit of Eddie Izzard that he does where it's like, I'm 82. I'm 82 about how women when they hit 82 years old just kind of like go around going, I'm 82, you know. It's so true. We've all heard that.
It is. It's so true. And she complains about people just right in front of him. Like, good Lord, what's he wearing? He looks like an omelet right in front of him. You know,
an omelet.
I mean, we have those kind of embarrassing things. You have relatives you just want to cringe and just, oh my God, I can't believe.
But like that relative. You think you've spent time on yourself. You feel like you look so pretty. A relative comes over and goes, "Oh, stand up straight." You know, like you know. Lady,
I mean, what about getting old? Do you think gives you the right to just talk down to people?
I think there is a age in which the filter just disintegrates, and you say whatever is on your mind because you don't care
well,
anymore.
Then you should get slapped around a little bit.
Go ahead, John. Go slap some grandmas around. Tell me how you come out of it.
Well, I'd be like, hey, what the hell?
Oh, excuse me. I hate to bring this up, but speaking of slapping grandmothers, he tried that with Grandmother Neville, and Dalish got his butt kicked. I'm just saying this is not a good thing that John Noe would be tacking on grandmothers. Your history is against you.
I just like it, the part where you just referred to him and me as the same person that made me smile, so I don't care what you say.
Oh.
Well, all right, well, on that note, we've got a lot more to do on this show, so let's get back to it next week.
A huge chapter.
Okay.
More of the wedding.
We'll see you next week with more.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to Scribby 5, the 5-minute podcast of the Leaky Cauldron's premier essay project, Scribulous. I am Beth, or Looney Love on the forums, and with me today we have Laura, or Music Cow.
Hello.
And Linda, a.k.a. Mosaic.
Hello.
We were going to talk about one of our spoof essays today, but I heard you need some help with something, Laura. What's wrong?
Well, guys, I kind of forgot Valentine's Day.
Laura, how could you?
I'm honestly a little shocked.
I know. I was just so busy, it completely slipped my mind. It's been 2 weeks and I still don't know what to get my husband, but I have to do something amazing to make up for this.
Oh, I have the perfect idea. You could get him one of those deluxe nose hair trimmers. They are so nice.
It's a great suggestion, Linda, but I don't think that's very romantic.
Oh, what about a Barry Manilow mixtape? Nothing says romance like Barry.
That's true, but I don't really think he's a fan, Beth.
Well, I guess you could just get him a pair of socks.
Oh, Linda, that's a great idea.
Thanks.
Socks?
Yeah, socks are the ultimate symbol of love, Laura. Haven't you read Sock It to Him by Birthday Twins? The whole essay explains how in the Harry Potter series, socks are consistently used as symbols of love. Dumbledore gave us our first hint in Sorcerer's Sock.
Stone.
Huh?
Sorcerer's Stone, not Sorcerer's Sock.
Oh, yeah. In Sorcerer's Stone, Dumbledore tells Harry that if he looked in the mirror of Erised, he'd see himself holding a pair of thick woolen socks. We know now that that's probably not what Dumbledore would have seen, but he said that to give Harry a pretty big clue. The power that the Dark Lord knows not, that Dumbledore keeps talking about, was socks.
You know, I think I remember that essay now. Birthday Twins also talks about how we always see Molly Weasley, possibly the most loving mom ever in literary history, either knitting or folding socks because, like Birthday Twins says, Molly, the eternal mother hen, knows that warming the feet is the first step to warming the heart.
Exactly, Laura. And what about the sock in Chamber of Secrets?
Of course. How could I forget? Harry puts a sock in the diary, which, of course, frees Dobby from his slavery to the evil Malfoys. I mean, he could have put anything in that diary, like a hat or a scarf or even a nice pair of boxers, but he chose the sock. Perhaps my husband wouldn't think that's cute, guys. I don't know.
Well, maybe you should tell him about the Goblet of Feet.
Fire.
Oh, right, Goblet of Fire. After Harry set Dobby free with the sock, Dobby goes on to knit some socks in return for Harry. So it's obvious Dobby identifies socks with love and devotion. In Deathly Hallows, we see just how devoted Dobby is to Harry, and it was a sock that started the entire friendship.
Well, that is pretty convincing, Linda. It seems that whenever Harry wants to protect something, say a bottle of Felix Felicis, he wraps it in socks. It seems like they're used symbolically throughout the books to represent comfort and love.
Exactly. Birthday Twins summed it all up quite nicely by saying that socks are an important motif in the books, used for more than just warming feet. Jo clearly believes in the power of socks as she keeps bringing them to our attention again and again. Protection, expressions of love, and procuring freedom. They're all ways that socks have been used in Harry's 6 years at Hogwarts.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's all well and good, but it is ignoring one small little detail.
What's that, Laura?
Well, wasn't Dumbledore wrong? I mean, socks didn't have anything to do with Harry's defeat over Voldemort.
Well, that's true. Harry did work it all out on his own, but just imagine how easy it would have been for him to defeat the Dark Lord if old Boldy would have just had some nice socks. I mean, the poor guy came out of that crazy cauldron barefooted. He was freezing.
Lord Voldemort would have shrunk like a wool sock in high heat if he'd just had a decent pair of stockings. I mean, just look at his life at the orphanage. Tom Riddle never had anything nice. Birthday Twins mentions that if Riddle lived in such deplorable conditions, he probably didn't have very nice socks. Kind of makes you think about a nice, warm, fuzzy emotion that he was also missing out on.
There you have it, Laura. Nothing. I mean, nothing says love like a nice, thick pair of socks. Except, you know, maybe Barry Manilow. But I can't think of anyone who wouldn't be thrilled to get a pair of socks for Valentine's Day, even if they are 2 weeks late.
Well, I've got to say, I'm convinced. Socks it is. I'm going to run now and get a pair.
Well, I'm glad we solved that little problem. That's all we have for today, everyone. But remember, send your spoof essays for our April issue of Scribulet. They're due March 1st. And if you want to read Sock It to Him or any of the other great essays we discussed, then go ahead and visit www.scribulet.com. We'll see you next week. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
Are you smarter than our Jones? No, we test your knowledge and be on a show. We knowledge, knowledge, now we're on the air. Are you really as smart as you claim? Are you smarter than our Jones? No, we if you think so, you'll be on a show. We J.K. Rowling's given all the clues. Now are you smarter than our Big J?
Hello.
Hello.
Ah, there we go.
Now we can hear him.
Yeah, it was on mute for some reason.
Oh,
well, that's never good.
No.
All right, take it away, Melissa.
Welcome to Are You Smarter Than John Noe? We have our guest Andy King, our first ever Are You Smarter Than John Noe guest. So here's how it's going to work. We are going to give you one question, Andy, and John, when we give that one question, John is going to type me and Sue his answer.
Yeah.
When we say it's okay for you to answer, you go ahead and answer, and we'll let you know who won.
Okay.
No, it's not just one question. It's just one at a time,
just
right?
One question, but per person.
Okay. All right. Cool. All right.
That's it.
All right. Sue has the first question for you.
Okay. Here we go. What are the full names of Snape's parents?
Oh, God.
Go ahead, John. Type your answer.
Wait a second. Let me think. Hold on. Give me a freaking second.
Count them down.
You better not be looking anything up.
Did he have... He had...
It's your parents.
Write it down.
I don't have anything. Oh, wait. No, that's not Snape. That's Riddle's parents. Oh, frick all. I don't have any idea.
Oh, my God.
What do you mean, oh, my God? Wait. No. Prince.
John,
right.
You have to type it.
Type it, you...
Good job.
How are these instructions...
Oh, I just got too excited.
Okay, let's do a different question.
Wait a second, but what was the question?
No,
first and last name?
Well, since you didn't follow the rules.
All right, well, is it first and last names or
yes,
what?
Yes, the full name.
Oh,
full
I would have
name.
Never known the first
what
name. You kidding me?
It's Eileen, John.
There you go.
All right, well, that
Eileen?
Question got all screwed up because John's a dope. So let's do a whole different
Okay, good practice.
That was good, Andy. That was
What's
right.
What's his father's name, Andy?
I have no idea.
Okay. So what's the real question? Good practice. Good work.
Okay.
Good practice. Now we know it doesn't work.
Okay. What was the name of the fatal curse that Vincent Crabbe, cast that actually caused his death in Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows?
John, don't say anything. Type it.
Okay. Type it. I do know this one. I think I have no idea how to spell it.
Well, don't worry. We're not going to count spelling.
I don't think it's even right.
Thank God we're not going to count spelling. Andy, what's the answer?
Fiend fire?
All right.
Yes!
Not at all.
John wrote...
I can't say it.
John wrote, Infant Flame.
I got confused with Final Fantasy.
Final Fantasy?
The fire guy who comes out.
It's a video game.
I know what it is.
Andy, you're so angry.
Oh, you silly, silly man.
Infant Flame. There you go. Andy King, you are...
Here, I thought this would be difficult.
We're sorry to disappoint. Yeah. Andy King, you are smarter than John Noe.
Yay!
Okay.
Thank you
Next
for playing.
Next contestant coming up. Thank you for playing.
Bye,
you win,
Andy.
You win.
Bye.
You win Melissa's
Bye.
Broken toaster.
What?
Okay.
Infrit Flame. I will never forget that. Infritflame, just in case anybody's wondering.
Oh.
I wonder what it really is spelled in Final Fantasy that you're...
It's Ifrit, I think, and he's Ifrit. The guardian force that comes out and throws fire at people.
That you know.
That I know. If they're casting for the Final Fantasy movie crew, let me know.
Okay, next. Hello,
Hi.
Is this Lauren?
Yes, it is.
Hey, it's Pottercast calling.
Hi.
John's a little annoyed. He's kind of mad you think you're smarter than him.
Join the club.
Hi. Oh, my God.
Are you ready? Are you ready to play?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Sue's going to hit you up with the question.
Okay. Now, this is going to be kind of tricky. It's a tricky one. You got to think hard. How many times did nearly headless Nick, get whacked before he was finally almost, well, dead?
John, don't
okay.
say it.
I'm just going to have to guess.
You have to write it down.
Okay. We'll go with this Harry Potter number here.
Lauren, do you know the answer?
Oh my gosh. No, I know it.
Don't get your book out.
No getting books out.
Can I get the book out?
No.
No book.
Who can research faster than Jen Noe?
I don't know, 47 or something like that?
So close.
The answer is 45. John thought it was 7.
You were a lot closer than he was, though, that's for sure.
It's a multiple of 7. Wait,
seven
no, it
is
isn't.
A multiple of 7, John. All right, another question so we can figure out who is actually smarter here.
Okay.
See, we're tied.
Okay, name 3 things that were flung in defense, at the Battle of Hogwarts in Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, there were three things for sure that were flung by the various defenders of Hogwarts.
Oh, okay. I know one. I just have to know one or all three?
Three.
Frick.
This is hard.
That is right.
I don't know. You're thinking of Pirates of the Caribbean, I think. Okay, Lauren, do you know the answer?
One of them?
Do you know
all
any
three.
Of them? You got three.
Well, they threw mandrakes.
Did they?
I
or did they set? Did they set the mandrakes screaming?
No, they
did use mandrakes. She's right. Okay, that's one. I don't know about throwing, but.
They threw Snarl Puff Pot.
Yes.
That's two.
Snarl Puff Pot.
Venomous something. Penta something.
Venomous Tentacula?
Yeah.
I don't know if they threw... Did they throw that? It's a vine. It's a plant. I don't know if they threw
Neville did with Professor Sprout. They were doing it, and they went to go get it, and they all were armed with it.
Didn't Peeves drop them on it or something?
Peeves drops the Snarl Puff Pods.
Oh, what the hell?
Well, what, ruling, what do you think? Is that three?
I think it's three.
I think I got three of them, too.
Okay, here's what John said.
Okay.
John said crystal balls, which is true.
Which is very accurate.
Uh-huh.
Knifles and forks.
Nice.
He said knifles.
Knifles.
Oh, come on. You know what I
think
was
he was
typing.
Watching Pirates of the Caribbean. And
no,
then
no,
three,
the house elves threw them.
Probably, you're probably right. Then number three... Was the house elves?
They did not fling the house elves. You lose for that automatically by using them as weapons. You are fail.
They're only worth their own mass.
No.
Lauren, you are definitely smarter than John.
I think it's a closer call than last.
Thank you very much for playing. Don't tell anybody about this till the show goes up.
Okay, cool.
But you can brag now. You can...
But no.
You have the rights.
Okay.
Thanks, lady.
Hello?
Okay, hello. Welcome to Are You Smarter Than John Noe?
Da-da-da.
Are you?
Yes, I am. I totally am.
Oh, gosh.
Okay, we're going to prove that.
Friends have been quizzing me all day. I swear to God.
You've been studying for this?
Not studying, more like sitting and playing on Leaky during all of my classes.
Hey, well, we don't mind that.
We're fine with that.
Why don't we just email everybody who comes to the site that they're going to be on a contest and they can be on Leaky all day?
Oh,
that'd be brilliant.
I didn't want to pay attention in math class, so.
But who does? Screw math.
John!
What? All right, we're playing a game.
Okay, here's how it works, Ms. Sasha. Sue will ask you a question, and then John is going to type his answer to Sue and I so that we know what he said. Then you'll answer, and we'll tell you who got it right, because trust us, we'd much rather that you got it right. So not to worry, that we'll be straight with you.
Okay, now this is going to be kind of hard. You have to kind of think about this. But
okay.
Name all the towers of Hogwarts.
Oh, how many are there? God, there's a lot of towers.
And it's not that many.
Okay, here's
one. I'm not
one.
Telling you how many.
Here's two. I need to look at a picture. I need to think of how many I'm looking for. I thought there was at least one more.
I'm in love with the building.
Take a partial credit here.
No.
I'm just
partially
gonna...
smart? Does that count? Partially smart? I don't know.
Whoever gets more.
Am I allowed to answer yet?
I don't know. John, are you still... You got to tell us when you think you're complete, son.
Okay. One more. Now I'm done. Come on, I got some of those.
Okay, Sasha, your turn. What are the towers of Hogwarts?
Okay, there's the Astronomy Tower. There's the, isn't like there the Gryffindor Tower?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, fuck.
John.
Aw, John, did you not get that one? Okay, Sasha, continue.
Keep going, John.
How can you forget that?
There's a common room. There's a tower.
Thank you.
Why do they get their own tower?
Because they're cool.
There's the Ravenclaw Tower.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
They get a tower,
there's,
too?
There's the one where they have the nation.
Mm-hmm.
And the Owlery is a tower.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
So good.
So close.
All I can think of.
Oh!
Oh, so close. There's one more. Right, Sue?
Yes.
And Dumbledore's office?
Yes.
Ding, 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 ding. Whoa, that was great.
That was excellent. Very good.
Sasha, John said the North Tower, the Astronomy Tower, the South Tower, the Divination Tower, and Sprout Tower.
I don't forget about Gryffindor Tower. That's like...
I cried.
The main piece in the book.
I don't know what the hell.
But my favorite thing is Sprout, the Hufflepuffs, and we had a whole conversation that they live down below.
I know. Underground.
And they're saying they live in a tower.
It's an underground tower.
Speaking of Hufflepuffs, I've got a question for you.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
Is it possible to be a Gryffindor, like part Gryffindor, but mostly Hufflepuff?
I think so. I mean, I think that they put you in one, but I think there's certain, I think you can have attributes of all, personally, but I mean.
I was talking to a friend of mine, and she said she was a Gryffindor, and
yeah.
I just wanted to find out if that would make any sense.
I think a lot of people feel like that, though. I mean, I've heard that, you know, I mean, that's pretty common. Or they say that in your relationships, you know, or, you know, like, I'm a pup married to Gryffindor and stuff. So, yeah, I think so. I don't know. Why not?
Right.
You know? Okay.
Thank
you, Sasha.
Thanks, Sasha. You are smarter than John Noe.
Yes.
I think there's a pattern developing here.
All right. We got one more to go.
Hello.
It's Chloe.
Chloe.
Hi, guys.
Chloe.
How are you?
Hey, Melissa. I'm good.
Everybody doesn't know this is the lovely Chloe, and she is John's helper extraordinaire.
Yes.
And now it's going to be the ultimate showdown because I want to know if John's helper is smarter than he is. I think we all know the answer to this to begin with.
Oh, yeah. Just get on with it.
Name four of the tales of Beetle the Bard that were specifically mentioned in Deathly Hallows.
Oh, okay. Okay, I know one right away. Okay, here's one.
You're cheating. You have to talk to Joe about these.
I love you, John, so much.
Chloe, you should know that makes absolutely no difference.
Yeah.
Go ahead, John. Keep typing them. I feel
all
bad
right.
Because the audience has no idea what we're laughing about, but they will. Trust me.
What's wrong? I'm doing good. Don't
do it. Do it. You're doing good.
All right.
Keep going.
I think the question
how
is
many do I need to do?
Four
of the five. John,
that's
one of them is staring
in
the face.
Oh my god.
I mean, oh, the one from the okay. Oh, what the hell? The three, two.
Oh, jeez. John.
Three.
Okay, so Chloe, what are your four?
Oh, I can only come up with two.
Chloe, no!
I know. Let him win.
Rock.
I know. I can't lose to John.
Rock.
I'm gonna be humiliated.
Okay, get it. Talk it out. Talk it out like they do on Millionaire. Come on.
Okay. Yeah. So I know Babbity Rabbity and the Cackling Stump.
Okay.
See, I got that one too.
The three brothers.
Okay, that's two.
You didn't get Babbity Rabbity? That's.
Just wait.
Go ahead, Chloe.
Huh.
Of course.
There's somebody that she mentioned. Can I phone a friend?
No.
You're already phoning friends.
We have three friends on the line right here.
Hippity hoppity, Easter's on its way.
She already said that one.
Yeah, Babbity Rabbity.
My attempts to cheat are bad. I fail.
It's okay, Super Hufflepuffs. We don't do cheating very well.
I don't, and they know I wouldn't either. But I wouldn't.
Ah, I can't believe I stand it.
Wow.
Chloe, the question was, I was actually going to ask you was to name the seven Hufflepuffs, but I thought that would be just too much in your favor.
Oh, God, the Hufflepuffs.
Yeah, I could have gotten that one. I know it's Ron talking about it.
All right, we gotta wind this up in a minute.
Yeah.
All
right,
yeah. Okay.
All right.
You've
only got two. John got Tell of the Three Brothers, Warlock Terry Hart, Fountain of Fair Fortune, and ladies and gentlemen, Hibbity Dibbity and the Cackling Stump.
Oh, come on, that's so close.
Oh, John.
That's close enough, come on.
You want to tell Joe that her book, her story is called Hibbity Dibbity and the Cackling Stump?
I think maybe in some foreign translation that could work.
Granted, it's just about as sensical as Babbity Rabbit, but at least it makes sense with the story. The rabbit.
John, I love you so much.
Oh, John, you are just too much. I can't. Well, John, we found somebody that... Chloe, I'm sorry to say.
Oh, no, Chloe, wait. There's got to be one more question.
Okay.
There's got to be another question for Chloe.
Let's do one more, because Chloe, we know Chloe's more than John Noe. Go ahead, Sue. Hit us.
So I can't ask about the seven of the Hufflepuffs?
No, you already told her that one.
Oh, well, this will be hard, though.
I say all haven't been hard.
Well,
Hibbity-jibbity.
That's so darn close.
Name 10 Fred and George products from Weasley Wizards.
10? Holy crap.
I'm sorry.
Do five.
You're totally right. 5. I couldn't do 10, I got to tell you.
Oh, we did these on our thing, so do 5. 5.
Do 5.
Okay, Jesus, this is darn it all. Okay. All right. There's one. I don't know how to spell out one word.
I mean, we saw these many books, especially at the end.
So we have to know the proper title or know what it does.
You mean to know the title, I think.
Okay.
What
the hell do they call those things?
Dudley. Dudley.
Oh, right. What the hell? What was it?
I'm sorry. I can't see him go down in flames. I love him.
They're going down in flames the entire segment. Let's be
honest. That's true.
I can't think of anything.
Think of the movie, John. The movie.
Don't give me clues.
Oh my God. Just talked about it.
It's part of our show.
I mean...
Oh, my God, you fail!
You fail. All right, Chloe, can you think of 5 Fred and George products?
I actually have 6.
Oh,
Nosebleed Nougats, Canary Creams, Peruvian Instant Darkness Powder, Pygmy Puffs, the Headless Hat, and the Tauntaung Toffees.
John says, Canary Creams, Skeeving, I guess that meant Skiving, Snack Boxes,
yeah.
Invisible Head Hats, Tauntaung Toffees, and Fizzing Fireworks?
The fireworks from the Phoenix.
Filibusters. Those are Dr. Filibusters wet, no heat, wet start.
Okay, and
fireworks.
The one that he brand of them, didn't they?
Did they do their own brand? Yes, you're right. They did do their own brand, but that's not what they never really named them. They just sort of like were fireworks. You know?
And the
but, okay.
one that he, tell them the one he failed at, Melissa, that's part of our show. That he didn't even get the clue. Tell him.
What?
I don't know.
Cat?
The extendable ears.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Well, we haven't had one in months.
We
haven't had one in a long time. Well, Chloe, you still are smarter
darn it.
Than Mr. John Noe. Thank you for playing, babe. We got to go do the rest of the show.
Thanks, guys. Okay, bye, Chloe.
Bye.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Are you smarter than...
Sam.
She's smarter than John Noe?
Are you kidding me right now? I just, like, ran up the stairs, and now I'm out of breath.
Sorry.
How you guys doing?
We're okay. How about you?
Awesome.
Everybody's been smarter than me so far, so I needed to perk myself up.
That's not hard to do, John.
Well.
Oh, snap.
All right.
I'm just kidding.
Give you a question, then.
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay, Suze.
can you name 7 Hufflepuffs? I'm serious. Name 7 Hufflepuffs.
Start writing them down.
I know one off the top of my head.
I can't even name 7 Hufflepuffs.
Oh, all right. Well, then we can do something else if it's too hard.
No. Wait a second. If the contestants don't know
it,
then...
Think about it. You'll get it. All right. Go ahead, Don. That's one.
Mm. Oh, what's your face? wait, that's a typo.
That was not a typo.
I'd be cheating if I grabbed my book.
Yeah, it'd be very much cheating.
That's not how you spell her last name. I'm not repeating that out loud.
We can't even repeat what John just wrote.
He's a Hufflepuff expert.
He's incorrigible. Good, John, you're going. You're doing it.
This is like the last one that I know.
What? Okay, go ahead, keep going.
Oh, wait, no, the dude. Yeah, poor guy. Oh, yeah, that's absolutely it.
You know more.
I don't.
You said one of them before.
No, I'm totally tapped.
You can also count the ghost of Hufflepuff.
It doesn't have to be students either.
Oh.
Who is the ghost that likes... There you go.
Nice, John. Nice.
Oh, and what's her face?
Okay, so...
John, say what's her face? What's your name? Say it out loud.
No,
go ahead, Sam.
Thank my hero. Thanks, heroes. Think who does Sue ramble about, Sam? I know you've heard me ramble about this person.
Oh my gosh. This is the worst mom in my life.
Who is my queen?
She doesn't want you to neglect your earmuffs.
Oh.
Well, not that one.
Okay, do I start now?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep, you go.
So bad. That's in there enough for. I should be...
Go ahead. You start saying them, and then I bet you'll...
Oh, the Hufflepuff counter it.
Yes,
of course.
She does.
Oh, God, I didn't even think of her.
There, I got you there, John.
Uh-huh.
Hannah Abbott's a Hufflepuff, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
absolutely.
Ding, ding, ding.
Okay, and then if we're talking earmuffs, is that illegal that you gave me a hint?
No, go ahead.
No.
Okay, that was Professor Sprout, right?
Yep, that's number three.
Is Zachariah Smith?
Yes, very nice.
Very good.
Oh, I don't think I got that one.
An obscure one, but very good.
Keep thinking there. The DA. Goblet of Fire. Mm. Plenty of Hufflepuffs around. Come on.
Who's gorgeous? That's...
Oh, God. Oh, my God. I should be shocked for not even remembering. Cedric Diggory.
Yes.
Two more.
Wait, how many is that? Four or five?
That's five.
Uh-oh.
Oh my gosh, I know five Hufflepuffs? I'm awesome.
Think about the DA.
Oh, God.
Everybody at home is screaming.
I know. This was funny.
Oh, no. I don't want to make people mad.
It's intense.
Two
more.
Cho Chang.
Not Hufflepuff.
Who's a bit clumsy, but kind of pinkish, kind of cool?
Okay. We might be going a little off. Right,
I've never heard a Hufflepuff described as kind of cool.
You just shut up over there, Mr. Got your butt smacked in this game so far. You just hush.
My first Hufflepuff described as kind of cool.
I'm sorry. I think I fail. I can't remember the ghost name.
John called him Fatty Fryer, if that helps. John called him Fatty Fryer.
Fatty Fryer.
Whatever. I give up.
Okay. Well, there's like, John had... Sprout, Fat Fryer, Cedric, Justin Fletchery, which I don't think counts.
Tom, oh, why not?
It's
no.
Justin Finch Fletchley, you dork.
Okay, well,
and Matt's on tour with Justin, who's Justin whatever in the Sugar Falls. I should have gotten that. I'm sorry. Anyway.
Well, there's also Tonks, Susan Bones, which John wrote differently. We're not going to repeat. Ernie McMillan, Hannah Abbott. And John wins this round.
I can't believe
it.
I never thought I'd see the day.
I hate my life.
Sammy, thank you so much, sweetie. Now I get to be smarter than one person on this show.
Excellent.
That's ridiculous.
Thank you for letting me win. She must have let me win.
You clearly let him win.
I expect my $500 check in the mail.
You got it. We're going to call you every week after this to make sure that I get my spirits back up for the rest of the show.
Damn, can I let you win? I was going to say, can I let him win? That's what the rate is?
$500.
For $500, yeah.
Damn.
Just pulled off the tree in the backyard.
For real. All right.
I love you guys.
Love you, Sam.
See you,
Fulcrum.
Bye.
Bye. I can't believe you actually got Hufflepuff.
I rock. Well, you gave me some clues.
Well, I know.
But yeah, that was kind of, we were kind of, okay.
I would have never
done. Okay, guys, if you want to be the next person to show John Noe what's what, call, let us know your Skype name or number at staff@podcast.com.
Yay.
Great show, Podcast 140. We're here at the end, the drums. Do we still have drums?
I don't know.
I don't know anymore.
I tend to fall asleep with this part of the show.
John!
No, I'm kidding.
Thanks. Anyway, welcome to the end of Podcast 140, and we have a very special guest here to talk about something that we have been talking about for a long time. You guys keep emailing us. We're really happening. We promise this time. And to give us the details is our friend Meg. Hello, Meg.
Hi.
She is from the Sugar Quill.
Yay.
If you guys know Harry Potter fanfic, sugarquill.net. It's a really great site. And she's going to be writing script, and John and her are going to talk about
what you should do if you want to be a part.
Yeah. So, we've been talking about this last week or so.
Yep.
And we have decided, well, first let's tell them a little bit about what's going to be happening. We've decided on beginning the story in the next generation.
Yep. We feel that pretty much the canon of the Harry's generation has been, you know, it's been explored. We have that story. So it's really the curiosity is with this new generation, particularly, of course, Harry's kids and Ron and Hermione's kids.
And Scorpius.
And Scorpius. Oh,
we
yeah.
Forget about him because he, Lord knows he's going to challenge Harry to a duel in the trophy room or something. So
Harry.
Not
Albus
Harry.
Severus.
That would be a devastating.
Albus Severus.
Albus Severus is our main character because that is, as Joe said, her favorite character. Her most character she was most interested in, I think is what she
poor
said.
Kid.
But anyway, we're going to release a chapter of this story, or however long it ends up being, once every 3 or 4 weeks or something.
Yep, an episode. And this is new for us, so
yeah.
We're not sure how long they'll be at this point. It'll be an experiment in some ways.
Definitely. Definitely. But if you are interested, there are a few qualifications first, a couple of them technical, just because we have to. And that is, you need to be able to record yourself on a microphone on your computer. You need to be able to, you know, okay, well, you need to have Skype, which is a little voice over IP program. Most of you have it. And how we'd like to be able to do it is once we have our cast, you will have to record your lines individually and send them in. And the more actors we can get on like a conference call to be able to act with each other, obviously the better off the episode's going to sound. And we'll get into all those hairy details eventually down the line here. But as far as auditioning, we've decided on what, Meg?
In terms of auditioning, what we would like people to do is if you have a role in mind that you think you would be right for or that you would just love to play, and if that person happens to have lines in the epilogue of Deathly Hallows, go ahead and record yourself reading those lines aloud and essentially performing them. And in general, and you know, don't despair if your character doesn't show up and have lines. We're interested to hear, of course, people who feel that they could be an Albus or a James or a Rose, but we also want to hear other people. And so if your character's not in there, go ahead and in general, everybody do this. Choose your favorite passage from any of the books and read it aloud in essentially in performance style. And we just wanted to address one thing about this, which is that we figure people will ask whether or not they should have British accents, and the answer is if you have one, great. If you are really good at it, then great. If you're not that strong at it, just be yourself, just perform it straight out, because people will get past no accent a lot more quickly than they can get past bad accent.
Exactly. I mean, Lord knows I do a terrible British accent. And I plan on, you know, and actually all of us here plan on taking tiny little minor roles, if the script calls for it that week, like random person number 3 in the ministry to say, hey, whatever, I don't know. It's not very good at this half. But,
I want to be a Hufflepuff.
I'm sure they'll probably be a few Hufflepuffs. And about reading your favorite passages there, because we haven't put up like a cast of characters yet that people will be auditioning for. There's going to be a second round of this audition process as well. But we could decide, hey, you read for Albus Severus, but you'd make a really good...
Right, so be open-minded,
yeah,
because you may not realize how you sound, or I mean, I think we're all that way, sort of, if you ever hear a recording of yourself. Most of us are a little bit horrified, I think.
Yeah.
But,
it's taken me like 110 shows to get used to how I sound.
Oh, there's one other thing, actually. The reading of the passages, just so that we're going to be able to get through listening to everything. Please keep it to a page.
Yeah. Keep it a page, about a minute, something like that. On podcast.com will be more concise instructions about recommendations of how to record yourself where to send them to, what to call your file, what to put in the subject line of your email, everything to make it easier on us and get this done quicker. But the first round, we may or may not air everybody's submissions. But the second round will include on country's idol-esque audition process, where we will air some of them, and you guys, the listening audience, will get to have a say in who gets casted for what, because we'll be polls on podcast.com.
Our callback, we will air some of the callback tapes for voting, and that's going to be a lot of fun.
That will be crazy fun. I mean, no, we're not going to make fun of you, like,
Simon Cowell.
Country idol. What's that?
No Simon Cowell?
No, we can't make fun.
I mean, maybe they'll have to make a little checkbox on their audition
no,
to say, I
no
don't mind if you
cruelty.
Make fun of me.
Yeah. Aww. Yeah. I thought wanting cruelty.
You have to be very terrible. No, just kidding.
You know, I'm really looking forward to hearing people's voices, and more than that, just to hearing what people's interpretations are, how people read these characters, or how people...
Yeah.
You can tell a lot, I think, about how people feel about the book by the way that they'll read it aloud. That's going to be a lot of fun. So get those recordings together.
Woo! Get them, man. We can't wait to get started on this. The original idea of the fans being able to influence the story is still on here. After the episodes, there'll be polls on podcast.com for you guys to choose, you know, some elements of the next episode, like, you know, Harry goes to the Great Hall. End of episode. Does he eat a pudding? Does he forego sweets? Does he, you know, get into a fight with Alpha Puff?
We promise that the decisions that we'll leave to you will be equally exciting, as the scenario John just laid out.
Does Harry eat a pudding?
Or does he go to Headmaster Dawlish?
I mean,
and
he pretty much just revealed the central, you know, idea of the plot. So now we're gonna have to start from scratch. But
pretty much all about pudding.
Yeah, it is.
You and pretty food. Much. Don't go along with it, Meg. Don't encourage it.
They just had Headmaster Dawlish, Meg. You realize?
Oh no,
Dawlish.
I mean, I have some influence here on the story.
Oh God.
Actually, we should have a podcast poll this week of who do you think is the next headmaster in these kids' generation?
Mm. Yeah,
we don't really know.
That's I told John last week. That's my big question about this story: is if you have an 11-year-old, if you have Albus Severus during his first year at Hogwarts, you have to have a run-in with the headmaster. It's tradition, so we have to have a headmaster, and it's just a little bit hard to fill Dumbledore's shoes.
The right age.
It's impossible to do, actually. So we're just going to have to be inventive, is what it comes down to.
And that's all for that moment when he walks into that office and sees a picture of Albus and a picture of Severus on the wall.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, looking up at those guys and realizing, that's my legacy.
Look what you have to live up to, buddy.
No pressure. None at all.
No pressure at all.
No pressure.
Poor kiddo.
Well, I can't wait. So just to remind everybody, when does this all begin? What's the next action now?
Recording
by
March
1st. Yeah, they're everything in by March 1st.
And that is a page reading of whatever you wish, even if the character that you wish to play is not in the book.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
Nobody read for Dobby because he's still dead.
Dobby's still dead. Dobby the ghost.
Yes.
Awesome. I can't wait. And so, yeah, that's about it.
Perfect. I think everybody got what they needed this week.
Excellent.
Thanks for having me, you guys.
What else do we have to do here?
Well, we're glad you're doing this,
Meg. Of course,
Meg. Awesome, man. I mean, the fandom is...
We'll be hearing more from you.
If you haven't read Meg's writing before, you're in for a real treat. We're just so excited that you're doing this, because her fan fiction is what basically drew me into the fandom, because it was so amazing. So
I do believe that one of her fan fictions was the first fan fiction I ever read,
which
I actually printed it out.
Oh, God.
Page for page, so I could show it to my sister.
That depending on the fanfic, you could have killed like an entire rainforest.
It's pretty big. I think I'm going to be embarrassed if it wasn't yours.
I think it was. We've had this conversation once before, but I can't remember the actual.
No, that's cool. If it wasn't, I'll just take credit. Which one was it?
What was it, Melissa?
Oh, I don't remember. I think it was the Hermione.
You wrote it.
Oh,
can we link to your? Can we talk about where to find your fic?
Oh, sure. And I, gosh, I feel a little embarrassed, actually a lot embarrassed, because I never returned to finish those diary stories. Life just kept getting in the way every time. And, well, I don't know if I will now. Sometimes it's better to finish a thing when you're in the swing of it, and then it's hard to return to it. But anyway, that's that.
Well, there was also a very long one called After the End, which was post Goblet of Fire fanfic. So
Which we did finish.
That's the one. Yeah. That's the one.
In a fury the night before book 5 came out.
I printed that out page for page.
No.
You know,
oh,
that
was
that
cool with my sister.
You did, in fact, have an impact on the environment, I must say.
It was a very small font.
Hope you used recyclable paper, John.
That was so good, though.
I think we actually made a bonfire later that week.
Nice.
Yeah.
No, it was very good. Very good. It was awesome.
Well, awesome. I cannot wait.
Yeah.
Keep moving, everybody. We can't wait to hear what you got.
Yeah.
It's going to be an awesome cast. And, you know, this may be the first of many casts.
Cast?
Who knows?
What?
Who knows?
Cast. We might say that this story is going to be 10 episodes long, and then we're going to take a break and come back with a new cast, a new season. We'll see how it works.
There's no telling. This is a pilot. Let's see how it goes.
Cool.
Don't get canceled
The
first 3 months.
Oh, also another fun announcement. If you are interested in editing something like this or anything else on Pottercast is looking again for more editors for the show. There will be details on Pottercast.com of what we're looking for and exactly how to audition, because we really have to streamline this process because it took forever last time. So if you are interested, make sure to listen next week and to keep an eye on Pottercast.com this week.
Awesome.
Yay.
All right, so on that note, do we twiddle some things or what?
Yes.
I think this is the part we have to keep twiddling those dials.
The next password will be callback.
Keep each other safe. Keep faith.
Good night.
Good night.
Missed it.
Bobby is free.
I confess myself disappointed.
Now, if you don't mind, I'm going to bed.
Great Scott, no wonder. Look at the time. We've been here nearly 4 hours. Spooky how the time flies when one's having fun.
This week's podcast was produced by the Pottercast Trio and Steve Bonnet. Thanks to our Scribby 5 team, Aaron and Nina, and thanks, as always, to our awesome transcription elves for transcribing this and all our other episodes on Pottercast.com. For more information about the show and how to contact us and be a part of future episodes, visit Pottercast.com.